Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You want to see Loco?
It's a Perreo Friday. We are maybe on the air and maybe not. Depends how you're listening to us.
We're going to make gold, though, baby.
If you make gold, though, and no one's there to wear it, did you really make gold?
It's a lifelong question.
This is what I understand. We are not on 790 AM, but we are on the HD signals. Which HD signals are working? Because those are spotty at best, Solana.
On right now, since it is the local hour, right now 104.3 HD2.
And FM. Obviously the radio.com app and whatnot, but I you know, if your friend tells you that he can't listen to Hockman and Crowder, let him know. We're on the HD, and then we'll start the simulcast at 3 o'clock. And we'll be good to go.
Oh, it is gravy.
I don't know how that how this is going to work with the hurricane because, you know, it's bright and sunny out and the AM signal for 790 is down. But whatever.
The signal's prepping.
Figure it out.
Picking up water, yeah, gasoline. The signal got to prep too.
Signal's filling up a sandbag. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. We have a loaded potato for you today, and I don't know how we're going to fit it all in. We're going to keep an eye, obviously, on the hurricane and keep you updated on that. We'll have guests throughout the show to make sure everybody knows what's going on. So blah, blah, blah. Dolphins, they have officially named Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was, by the way, the worst performing quarterback of all three of their quarterbacks in the preseason, the starter for week one regular season.
He's saving the good stuff.
I do find that part to be a little funny, right? Because it was a quarterback competition, and he performed the worst. Now,
oh, yeah.
I'm talking about specifically in the four preseason games.
The numbers, yes.
In practice, we know Brian Flores was happy with the way Ryan Fitzpatrick was a leader and his body language and the way that he controlled the team. And he thought that Josh Rosen had growing in that area to do. But in the four preseason games, which is what most fans watch, they saw Josh Rosen and Jake Rudock outplay Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I think there's probably a lot of people that feel like, oh, that was a fraudulent quarterback competition. Like, you could have named if Ryan Fitzpatrick was your starter 8 weeks ago, you could have named him your starter 8 weeks ago, and you would have missed all the rigmarole that went along with this stuff. Because that's the only part that I have a little bit of trouble with. I don't care. I'm for Fitzpatrick starting because I think it makes more sense. Because if you start Josh Rosen, you really have to stick with him for 16 games, in my estimation.
Yep.
But I the only part that I get hung up on is, you know, why is it really a competition then? Like, you made up your mind early on. I don't think there was anything that was going to change his mind.
They would Rosen would have to steal the married guy from his wife. Rosen was the mistress. They were married to Fitzpatrick. They knew what Fitzpatrick was. They had 16 years of Fitzpatrick.
He did enough to do it, though, didn't he?
No, he didn't. Rosen impressed you that much? Rosen went out there and had a couple good drives.
I mean, isn't it almost the mistress that tells you, yes, I might leave, but there was never any chance that the person was going
to
leave?
She would have to steal. I'm talking about just tear him away from his wife. Flores brought him in to start. Flores brought him in to be the energy that we know Fitzpatrick's going to be 8 games a year, 6 games a year, whatever it is, because the team needed some kind of energy. But, yeah, Rosen would have to come in here and just – he would have had to gain the respect of all coaches, all players, all administrators. Like, he would have had to come in here and just ran shop over the entire organization to start. I told y'all weeks ago Fitzpatrick's going to start.
Well, he made it official yesterday. So I tweeted out, you know, I've got those T-shirts at honkedofflikeagoose.com. So I tweeted out, it's official, you know, next man up, and here is the list. These are the starting quarterbacks since Dan Marino. Brace yourself. Jay Fiedler, Damon Heward, Ray Lucas, Brian Greasy, A.J. Feely, Sage Rosenfels, Gus Frerot, Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon, Trent Green, John Beck, Chad Pennington, Chad Henne, Tyler Thigpen, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, and now Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I tweeted that. Randy McMichael retweeted it this afternoon and wrote, I played with 11 of them, which is shocking. You've played with a number of them.
Like I played with 10.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And then it went a little viral on Twitter because people are, when Randy McMichael, so a bunch of people in Atlanta, and then it became this thing of, hey, for those of you that are unhappy with Matt Ryan, like, look what happened to the Dolphins after Dan Marino, and look at how difficult it is to find a quarterback.
It is.
That's proof, positive, right there. It is not an easy task to find a quarterback. It's why Indianapolis had gotten lucky with Andrew Luck up until he retired or whatnot. You know, to go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck is the rarity.
But remember, they didn't get lucky. They decided to not be good that year.
They maneuvered. They
yes.
maneuvered
and
for
a,
it. And then
like
made,
what the Dolphins are doing, maneuvering.
Well, I would agree. No, I mean, you don't need to look any further than that list. And you go, yeah, like that is, I mean, that is ineptitude at its finest. Aside from Jay Fiedler had a couple good seasons, right? I'm looking down the list.
I was seeing who your next guy was.
Chad Pennington, I guess.
Chad's the best quarterback since Marino.
And then Tannehill, maybe, right? I mean,
solid.
Who are the top four quarterbacks for the Dolphins, by the way? Because Dante Culpepper, I'm going to read his name. He didn't do anything for Miami. So
no.
you can't bring into what he did, with Minnesota. Who are the top four? The Mount Rushmore, and for people that text in, you know, Pat White, he was never a starter. So that's always the point of contention.
It's funny that you have to tell people that every time.
Every time.
You're arguing Pat White in 2019?
And I put always, like, this T-shirt is Dolphins starters. I even put in that tweet, don't mention Pat White. He wasn't a starter.
I've gotten
a number of tweets. What about Pat White? But here, if I told you, you have to do a Mount Rushmore of Dolphins starting quarterbacks since Dan Marino. Jay Fiedler, Damon Heward, Ray Lucas, Brian Greasy, A.J. Feely, Sage Rosenfels, Gus Frerot, Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon, Trent Green, John Beck, Chad Pennington, Chad Henne, Tyler Thigpen, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, and now Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think you forgot Pat White.
I mean, every freaking time.
I got Pennington, Fiedler.
Tannehill's got to be on there.
It's Tannehill, and then I'm stuck between Feely and Rosenfels.
I think I go Matt Moore.
Over Feely and Rosenfels?
Matt Moore, remember he was the player of the year for the Dolphins? The year that they should have been really bad to get Andrew Luck. Wasn't that the Andrew Luck season where he came in relief and went?
He was MVP 10-6 and 6
and he
carried
MVP
him.
Of the team. I think, I mean.
Matt Moore?
This argument in itself is crazy. When did Dan Marino retire?
2001?
Yeah.
2001. So 20 years. I'm making an argument that Matt Moore is on the Mount Rushmore of Dolphins starting quarterback since Dan Marino.
They tried. They drafted free agents.
That should be their slogan.
They tried.
To sell season tickets. The Miami Dolphins. We tried.
They tried.
I mean, is that the craziest conversation, though? If I said you have to name... And it would have to be, you know, NFL teams that have had, 15 quarterbacks at least in the last 20 years. There's some of them. I mean, the Cleveland Browns have, right? I mean,
Browns will be up
certain
there.
Teams, the New England Patriots, have just, you know, coasted through with
rode
their
out with Brady.
Big old font with one guy on the T-shirt. Wait, before we continue on, let me get headlines real quick here with Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a Radio.com sports station.
A lot going on locally, very important to get to, but we'll begin with the Marlins.
He loves his Marlins headlines.
The Fish finally took a game from the Reds this season. They end that four-game series with a 1-3 record against the Cincinnati Reds. Today they're on the road. They begin a three-game series, Crowder, in Washington. First pitch is at 7:05 p.m. Okay. From the nation's capital.
Tremendous.
A source told The Athletic that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, recently just signed with the Brooklyn Nets, are pushing the Brooklyn Nets to sign Carmelo Anthony.
Huh. Well, that'd be a disaster. What else you got?
Ryan Fitzpatrick, as you guys alluded to earlier, has officially been named the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins week one when they face off versus Baltimore.
Yeah, that is going to be a very interesting start to the football season. We're going to talk about it plenty today. What else you got, Solana?
Anything? And finally, a recent survey of college kids found they're eating a dangerous amount of tuna and have no idea it's high in mercury because of pollution.
I love that bag tuna.
You know, they have it in the bag now. They have salmon in a bag.
That
they got
white,
the tuna in a bag.
Hell with tuna. Albacore? You give me white albacore
but
and
is
oil?
It high, is it all high in mercury levels or just the cheap stuff? I imagine there's got to be some tuna that's not high in mercury levels.
Boiled eggs, bagged albacore, mayonnaise on a Triscuit. Ooh! That is porn.
Someone is seditty. This dude just
boiled eggs
about,
and bagged tuna sardini.
This dude on a Triscuit.
Triscuits be hitting, boy. And they have fiber. You know I got a weak stomach.
On a Triscuit. This dude 15 years ago or 20 years ago was talking about eating cube steak. And now he's telling you, you know, albacore, a little boiled egg. Ooh. You put it on a Triscuit.
You like Triscuits?
I
Who
love
doesn't
Triscuits.
Like Triscuits?
Oh,
like
I love Triscuits. It just leaves your mouth dry. Boom. It has no flavor.
Oh. No exaggeration. I bought 6 boxes of Triscuits to get ready for Dorian.
And it was buy one, get one on the Triscuits.
It was buy one,
get
one.
I bought 4 boxes.
Why do you think it was buy one, get one? Because nobody wants to buy them.
Triscuits
you got
and
that
Wheat Thins.
Baby palate.
Oh, Wheat Thins are a totally different category.
The same family as Triscuits.
Debatable.
Yeah.
Baby
Mount
palate.
I'll tell you right now, Mount Rushmore of crackers.
Huh?
You got the Triscuits. You got the Wheat Thins. You got
You got them. The Goldfish. Get
Ritz
the
crackers.
Talking about the crackers, because what about the Goldfish?
Are those really considered a cracker?
Bro, that Goldfish blasted cheddar.
I love them, but I don't know if I really like. Is an animal cracker a cookie?
I'd sell my body for those. The blasted cheddar in the orange bag.
Oh, Cheez-Its though. Cheez-Its
be hidden too.
You know, I have Cuban crackers on there, like Goya crackers.
Cuban crackers are good, I'm not going to lie, but I don't think they go on my Mount Rushmore of crackers.
No matzah?
The big ones?
They're like real.
No,
those are dry. You want to talk about a dry cracker.
You talking about the communion crackers? Those big dry ones?
Not
no way, man.
No communion crackers.
But they're very dry.
Very dry. Yeah. I don't like that.
A little mantequilla right on top. Oof.
Butter.
Mantequilla.
Butter. Or the Mount Rushmore of crackers, I'll go over the Dolphins quarterback list again. John Beck.
Culpepper.
He and Ray Lucas and Cleo Lemon are not on.
Hard pass.
That is a crazy list, though.
It's terrible. You know what? Somebody just texted Buffalo Bills. Let me read these names out.
Okay.
Nathan Peterman, Matt Barkley, Derek Anderson, Tyrod Taylor, EJ Manuel, Kyle Orton, Thad Lewis, Jeff Toole, Fitzpatrick, obviously, Trent Edwards, Brian Brom, J.P. Lossman. J.P. Lossman was one of the only sacks I ever had in the NFL because he didn't know where anything was coming from. He could never identify any blitzes. But J.P. Lossman, Kelly Holcomb. Then you get to Drew Bledsoe back in 2002 to 2004.
So what is that, like 10 guys? I mean,
it's 10.
I think the Dolphins list is worse, though.
Yes, it is.
Right?
I mean, you got some decent ones. Fitzpatrick was in there. He sprinkled
Tyrod Taylor had a couple good seasons for them.
Tyrod wasn't Jeff Peck, whatever
his name was. I think
John Beck.
I think J.P. Lossman had a decent season for them, didn't he?
J.P. Lossman was special.
He didn't have one decent season?
No. J.P. Lossman was like – I did well against him.
But
my level of knowing how good a quarterback is.
You couldn't be
is.
More special than Nathan Peterman, though. That's the worst quarterback on that list.
Yes, yes.
His Bills stats have to be epic. Like, epic.
I don't know, man. Nathan Peterman, he's still in the league, though.
True.
That's the craziest thing in the world.
I don't know how, though. Mike Cugno is going to join us in the next segment from CBS4. I want to get his take on the Dolphins announcing that Ryan Fitzpatrick, and what did they do? They told Josh Rosen before the game? I think they told him before the game that Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to be the season starter. So, anyway, I want to get Mike Cugno's opinion on that. He was also up in Orlando for Canes and Gators. We got a lot of stuff to talk to him about. So Mike Cugno will join us in the next segment of the Loco Hour.
Y'all got to go to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. Who doesn't love delicious fresh food? A great selection. Set off anything. Got the sides, got the seasoning, got all the dips you can set up. You can set up your whole day. You can set up 3 meals a day at Delaware. Get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. They have it all. Lamb, beef, veal, pork, poultry, duck, and turkey, lobsters, crabs, clams. They have 15 different types of shrimp, 20 different species of fish, wild game, venison, alligator meat, frog legs. They have it all at Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. Go to DelawareChicken.com to see the entire menu, and they'll save you time. Giving you a great selection and save you time. Call them in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. They have your order packaged already when you get there. Saving you time. They're going to save you money with prices like brisket burgers, only $8.99 a pound. They have St. Louis and Danish baby back ribs for only $4.99 a pound. All the sides. The sides made in-house daily are delicious. Coleslaw, macaroni, potato salad, baked beans. They have many more. They're made in home. You can ask right there for a sample and see what you're getting before you get it. And if you're having a barbecue, please get the chicken and turkey kebabs, the turkey burgers. They are delicious. You gotta love Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market for all your events, all your parties. Hell, just a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night dinner. 441 one block south of Sterling Road. When y'all get down to Delaware, tell them Crowder sent you.
All right, we'll talk a little Dolphins with Mike Cugno from CBS4 next on Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
I'm a little nervous on Perreo Friday. You play this kind of music, old Dorian's going to want to come here and party. I feel like we should play music to keep Dorian away.
Dorian doesn't like this type of music.
I don't want to see her, man.
Ah, man, Dorian's a country dude.
I don't want to see her.
Is it a woman or a man?
There's a Twitter debate over whether Dorian is a man or woman's name.
That's a man.
I thought it was a woman's name.
Dorian?
Dorian, yeah.
That's masculine.
Dorian?
Yeah, yeah. Dorian?
Well, let's bring in the expert, Mike Cugno.
Oh, he's feminine.
Woo, he's starting out quick, huh?
I still hold the grudge. I'm sorry, Mike.
I noticed. Mike Cugno, for those that don't know, is the person that dubbed Channing Crowder the old tugboat, and Crowder has never forgotten. Mike Cugno, sports reporter and anchor for CBS4, and he's with us now. Hello, Mike.
Dorian is a dude. What's going on, guys?
The delivery.
I like it.
Dorian's a dude. What's going on, guys?
Yeah.
All right, Mike. What? hey, how's like CBS4? You guys like mobilized into like hurricane activity?
It's like hurry up and wait. Like we were gearing up for like a big Saturday, and now the storm's out hit till like I don't know Monday, Tuesday now. I don't want to get that wrong and tell people.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday is what they're saying.
Yeah, so it's kind of just that be ready to go. And then we'll send you out to where we'll storm pitch type of thing.
All right. Well, let's talk a little Dolphins here while we all await maybe a storm. Ryan Fitzpatrick. So we learn he's going to be the week one starter for the Miami Dolphins. Is that the right decision?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick should have been your safety net this year. I think he should have gone with Josh Rosen just to learn what you have, obviously to figure out what you're going to do in the draft, next year. And then, if things go south with him in the first, six games and you want to at least look respectable, on the field and maybe actually try to win some down the stretch, then you throw Ryan Fitzpatrick in. Because I don't think the expectations for this team with either guy at the moment is to win a bunch of games. You're trying to find out what you have moving forward in the future.
But Mike, with Rosen now, if Rosen goes out and struggles, and like you're saying, as a safety net, then you start Fitzpatrick. Would you want to put – can you put Rosen back in? Like, I think that would start that back and forth, kind of like what Mark Richt did with the Canes, with Nkosi and Malik. Like, I think that would start that. If you were to start Rosen and have to replace him, now you have the quarterback carousel.
Yeah, but I don't know if the quarterback carousel means as much in the NFL as it does the college ranks, because in college you're fighting for rankings, you're fighting for bowls. But if this team from top to bottom roster wise is probably not going to get you into the playoffs, you need to experiment at some point and see what's working, because you need to figure out, you know, your path for the next 10 years. It's not just about this year. You got to find the most important, you know, position in all of sports who's going to lead your franchise. Now, granted, if Ryan Fitzpatrick goes out there and struggles the first four games and they, you know, pull the plug on him and go the Rosen route and he turns out to light it up, that's fine. But for me, and I think from a fan standpoint, the way Rosen performed in the preseason, you wanted to see more of that. You wanted to see how far he could take that, how much he can grow. I feel bad for Rosen, though, because the poor guy has been in like 18 different offenses since high school, dating back, you know, going back to college and going to the Cardinals, everything. He's got like a new offensive coordinator, a new system every year. But I thought you saw some good flashes from him when he was in there during the preseason.
Mike Cugno from CBS4 is with us. Do you question whether there was actually a quarterback competition? Because if you look, and again, I'm not, you know, the practices, the public doesn't really see that. We see it through the eyes of the reporters, obviously. But the four preseason games, Josh Rosen and Jake Rudock outplayed Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, this seems to me like the decision was made well in advance of last night when it was announced, and the notion that it was actually a competition, I kind of feel like really wasn't true.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think it's kind of, unless Rosen had gone out there and absolutely lit things up, because there was the one preseason game he started. I think had he thrown maybe, you know, led them to a couple of touchdown drives, or maybe he connected through the air on some of those, you may have actually seen a change. But no, I think Rosen, even coming in a month late, you know, behind Fitzpatrick, was just too far behind, I think, in the coach's eyes to win it outright. Yeah, I agree with that.
And, Mike, what's your take on Jadeveon Clowney? I know the deal's not done. They're working, you know, probably trying to work on to figure out what they can get for him. But how do you feel about the Dolphins potentially bringing in Jadeveon?
I mean, if you can get, like, an absolute haul for Tunsil, like, you know, Clowney, a top pick, and maybe another player or other picks, maybe. But that's another position. Like, you got to have a left tackle in this league. And Laramie Tunsil, not only would he start on every team in this league, but he's, I don't know, Channing, you can probably tell me better. He's probably a top five left tackle in the league.
He can play ball.
You know, like, yeah, like that's another position you just can't just, you know, cast aside. And if you've got a franchise left tackle this young, a guy who fell to you in the draft because of that whole gas mask thing, you looked into getting him, keep him. Why would you get rid of that guy? For an edge rusher, I think you can, you know, stack your chips in the draft later on and fill that need.
But like you said, if you could get a massive haul, right? I mean, you'd give up Tunsil,
yeah, I mean,
if you could get
right.
Jadeveon Clowney and a one and a three in return, maybe. Like, would you do it?
My problem with the first round pick is that the Texans are probably going to be good,
right?
And so that first round pick looks more like an early second round pick, in some people's eyes. You're not going to get, you know, the Laramie Tunsil type of talent if you went like, okay, we'll just draft another left tackle with that pick. You know, you're probably getting the fourth or fifth tackle in the draft at that point, and that's not an equal trade. Even if you do get to Jadeveon Clowney, and who knows if he's going to even resign here? You know, like, that could be a rental. So there's a whole, I say you don't do it. You keep Tunsil. You find out what you have in Rosen, and if Rosen ain't the guy, if Fitzpatrick isn't the guy, then you go get your quarterback in the first round, and now you've got your starting quarterback, and you got your left tackle, you've got an All-Pro corner, and hopefully a good defensive tackle in Christian Wilkins, and let's go. Let's see what we can build around that.
And, Mike, the biggest question of camp, and it was the biggest storyline for all of us, was that quarterback battle. Now we know the answer to that. Is there anything else that you gathered from camp, any other clarity you gathered from camp that you didn't know before this, you know, before preseason started?
No, I was wondering why you didn't come on the show last Sunday. I know that. I thought, yeah, that little tugboat thing had scared you off. That was my big thing. I thought you were supposed to come on. I was looking forward to it, but no, I'm just kidding. The quarterback battle, I mean, that's it. You just kind of looking for the direction of the franchise.
And obviously, the cuts will be made by 4 o'clock tomorrow, so we'll learn the fate of some bubble guys. Mike Cugno from CBS4 is with us. So you were in Orlando for Canes and Gators last Saturday.
I saw Solana up there.
Oh, did you? Yeah, there were a lot of people made the trip. Did you have a big takeaway? I know you're a Florida State Seminole, right? You went to FSU, didn't you?
I went to FSU. I grew up down here, you know, family, big Canes fans. So I like to keep people guessing where my allegiances lie because it's a little fun on Twitter. But
did you have?
Don't tell him you got a degree from FSU. I'll tell you that much, Mike.
I'm gonna back him up on that one because you know, listen, that's nothing to be that proud of. And you guys had that backpack thing, you know.
The diploma's on the wall.
But what was your biggest takeaway for the Canes on Saturday night?
I love that they hung tough in there. Look, they could have. They got lucky. Let's be frank with it. I mean, Felipe Franks fumbling inside the red zone on, I think it was the second or third Florida possession that could have put him up 14-3. The game would have been over there. I don't know if Miami comes back from that, but the fact that they were able to, you know, make the most of some of those miscues by the Gators and hang in and then keep fighting and had the lead a couple times in the game. I like that because I think in past years under Rick and especially under Golden, once you got behind, it just felt like it was over. So I like that. And the other thing I like, and I know Dan Enos got a lot of grief for this in the national media, but him calling out Jaren Williams, I like that he called him out because too often you hear the coaches, you know, put the blame on themselves. I think after a while, the players start to believe that. So you start to hear in the media all the time, oh, yeah, you didn't have me ready. Well, no. Enos said he had them ready. He had the answers to the test. They just, you know, didn't go out and execute. And Jaren Williams agreed the next day. So I know Enos, like I said, got a lot of grief for that, but I liked it. And I liked the way Jaren Williams responded to the criticism. And I think that's something where you see a growth in this program over Manny Diaz. There's no more babying people.
And, Mike, did I overreact? We were talking about it on Monday, and I said, right now I trade Jaren Williams for Felipe Franks for the remainder of the season. I'm serious about it. Like, Felipe being as young as he is, Felipe Franks being a junior, I would trade him out right now. Am I overreacting to Jaren's performance?
No, I don't think so, because I think you saw that Jaren's ceiling is higher. Franks threw a couple of deep balls, but like I said before, had Franks held on to that handoff exchange, that game could have been over in the first half. Franks kept, in my mind, kept the Canes in that game. Throwing a pick late in the fourth quarter to give Miami the ball back where anything could have happened. I mean, throw the ball away, punt it. Obviously, Miami's offense wasn't moving. They lucked out. Franks got lucked out by the missed field goal by Bubba Baxton and the Jeff Thomas fumble. Yeah, I mean, Franks got as bailed out as anyone as I've ever seen in a football game.
Mike Cugno, CBS4. So your Seminoles, what do? They host Boise State now. They moved that game to Tallahassee. I didn't even realize that game was going to be played in Jacksonville. I didn't even know that. So,
Can I be honest with you? Neither did I. They said they're going back. I was like, okay, cool. Why would you even play in Jacksonville?
I didn't understand. When I literally found that out a couple days ago. I had no idea. That's not even a neutral site game because it's nowhere near Boise. Like, I don't understand the logic behind that. But
it's like a nuisance for Florida State. Like, oh, we got to get everything on a bus and drive it 2 hours. Why don't we just stay here?
You're happy.
It's going to be all Florida State fans anyway.
You're happy that the backpack is gone this season?
Oh, God, that thing was ugly. Oh God, that was ugly.
Can you be honest about these props? Because I'm a huge fan of the touchdown rings. I thought they were badass. I thought they were cool as hell. I think anyone that pretends not to like them is just a hater and looking for looking for an argument. You're an independent arbiter, Mike. What do you say?
I love the rings. I love the touchdown. I think this turnover chain, aside from the first one, is the next best one, the 305.
Yes.
I love that thing. And look, I get it. There were other schools that did turnover things before Miami, but man, Miami just did it right. They did it right, and they keep building on it. I think it's awesome. I think everyone else needs to just stop. You know, everyone else can run through the smoke like Miami, but enough with the other gimmicks. The slamming a football in the trash can, the championship belt. It starts and stops with Miami.
Yeah.
But Mike, the costume, knuckle rings going all the way across. Now, Mike, come on. Radio Raheem, Mike.
I can hear the jealousy from here.
Right? I hear it, too.
I can hear the jealousy.
I hear it.
I'm struggling to be on the air right now. I can still hear it through my radio. The jealousy from Channing.
Come on, man.
I hear it too, Mike. He just can't come to grips with it yet, but he will.
After you get him, do you get to unwrap it and eat the chocolate?
He will. He'll come around on this as everyone else does.
Are they chocolate filled?
I bet if someone from the University of Miami came over with the turnover chain and those rings to the studio and brought them by, the first one putting them on is going to be Channing.
The chain is awesome. Mike, this is where I could be honest now. I'll be honest. The chain is cool. I'm with you. I think the original you was cool. The little bird was okay. But I like the 305. Like, I'm with you. The chain is cool. Them damn knuckle rings, them damn brass knuckle rings, Mike, them are lame as hell.
Sorry, brother. You do not have an argument there.
The 305 thing is perfect. It's like a little bit pitbull. And then I think like the rings you get like, I don't know, like,
Fergie?
I don't even know.
No,
is it a little Fergie?
Not Fergie. And did you see what he did there too, Mike? The little bird. He knows
the little
it's
bird.
Yeah, I noticed.
Have you seen one of those ibises?
It's not a little bird.
Have you seen an ibis?
What's
a plural of ibis?
I don't know.
Is an ibis?
What's the plural of tugboat? Tugboats.
Can we make a tugboat chain?
Let's make a tugboat chain.
Tugboat chain.
If somebody can't get the first down, they get the tugboat chain.
I was hanging out with Solo D at the pregame party.
Humble brag.
That Michael Irvin went nuts at. I'm gonna talk to Solo D. We make a tugboat song.
Oh my God, we gotta do that. That's a great idea.
He's working on the ring song now.
Hey, but he's quick. Yo, DJ Dallas asked for a song within a week that came out, so we need to get a tugboat thing going.
Yeah, that man, that DJ Dallas needs to transfer to Florida because he is amazing.
He is a ball player. That guy, yeah, man. I was feeling good after Saturday night. I'm not going to lie, Mike. Mike Cuno, CBS4, stay safe, although I don't think much this weekend, but next week, be safe.
Yeah, same to you guys, except for you, Channing.
Wow. Oh. He threw a little jab there on the way out.
You know he's going to do live reports this weekend places. Mike, I'm going to know where you at, Mike.
You know, you should. He's doing a live report, and you just come through. Did you see that little Pop Warner football game? They must have been 7 or 8 years old.
When the little boy knocked the hell out the other one.
Knocked the hell. It's too much too soon.
That.
I don't like it either. But you should do that to Cuno during a hurricane stand-up. Dude's outside of Publix.
Yeah, they got a water shipment in.
Right, you just see Crowder coming in. Tugboat, mother bleep. Dives on his ass.
I don't think Mike is playing this right. I know where he is at all times.
That's Mike Cuno from CBS4. In the next segment, a couple things. I want to bring on somebody to talk about hurricane safety. In the 3 o'clock hour, Craig Setzer from CBS4 is going to join us. And I also want to see if we can squeeze in the Deal Volvo best bets in the next segment, because we have a ton of stuff to get to. So we'll take a quick break. We got a lot of stuff in the next segment. Final segment of the Loco Hour, Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
We know, by the way, that the signal is not working on 790 AM. Why I'm telling you that I don't know, because if you're listening, you don't care. And if you're listening to 790 AM, you're not hearing it.
That's a hell of a point.
Right? It doesn't...
If you can't hear me, I know you can't hear me.
Right, and I'm trying to correct it for you. It doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Sorry.
But we'll start the simulcast in a few minutes anyway. Let me do the Deal Volvo best bets here. We have a lot to do on today's show, so we've juggled around the schedule a little bit. Usually we do this in the 3 o'clock hour. Deal Volvo, if you are car shopping this weekend. And by the way, I think that this weekend we're going to talk with Craig Setzer in the 3 o'clock hour. But I think this weekend's going to be all right, you know, weather-wise.
Yeah,
I don't think till Sunday night or Monday night that you're going to start getting maybe the feeder bands and whatnot, or hopefully this thing jogs to the north. You never know. There's still time.
Take a hard right.
Hard right.
I've seen some of them spaghetti strings.
So let me. There,
spaghetti.
Some of the spaghetti strings, honestly, have it going into the ocean, like just kind of making a U-turn. So we'll talk with Craig. Come on, Craig.
Come on, Craig.
Come on,
give us some
Craig.
Good news, Craig.
Time for the Deal Volvo best bets of the week. If you're car shopping this weekend, you've got to get to Deal Volvo, US 1 and Bird Road, right near the U. It's all about the D-E-E-L. A lot of people do car shopping on this holiday weekend. I'll give you some season stats here. Patrick Mahomes, total passing yards for 2019. What do you think it's set at?
Man, 4,600?
4,500.
Ooh, that's
a lot of yards.
That's a lot of yards.
I don't know what I would do, though.
that's why they set him like that.
4,500 yards, a lot of yards. How about total touchdown passes, Patrick Mahomes, 2019 regular season?
28.
You're not going to believe this. I just looked at it. 35 and a half.
Under. That's a lot of touchdowns, man. I know Patrick Mahomes is amazing. I understand. Don't text me. 35 and a half?
That's a lot of touchdown passes.
That's a bunch.
Baker Mayfield, over-under on passing yards?
42?
4,000.
I'll go over on that.
Total touchdown passes?
20. Now
remember, he's got ODB. He's got Njoku, 20, Jarvis.
26.
29 and a half.
Man, I'd be willing to go over on him before over on Mahomes, which is crazy.
Because the receiver, although
he has great receivers,
yeah, you know what?
35 just
that's
seems
a lot of
out
touchdown
of bounds,
passes.
Man. You know what? 29 is a lot for Baker too. Not playing, you know what I'm saying? The team's figuring him out. I go under on both of those guys.
Sam Darnold, I guess total passing yards.
Same at 42.
3,500.
Oh, over.
Really?
I go over with him.
How about Josh Allen? What do you think his over under is?
1,100.
3,100.
Under.
You want to guess Josh Allen total rushing yards for the 2019 season?
Probably tailback number, 600?
575.
Over. That's all he can do.
575. That's crazy.
It's over. It would be over. We've seen it. We watched him twice last year play the Dolphins.
Lamar Jackson. Total rushing yards for the 2019 season. Lamar Jackson, the Dolphins will face him in week one, and he might hit the over in week one. 775 yards.
775.
775. That's, I mean, you're talking about a 1,000-yard rushing season for a quarterback.
Lamar Jackson under.
You take the under.
Yep. That's my best bet. If they run him that much, he's going to get hurt.
That's a valid point. Like, if you've already run for 500 yards, it means – because how many of those – you know, if you've gained net 500 yards, you know you're going to have some losses as well. Like, you're getting banged up.
I like
so
Lamar
Jackson,
I like that one.
Under 775 yards rushing for the season.
That's a lot of yards.
Man, I wonder what the over-under is going to be on his rushing yards against the Dolphins, because he's going to come out – you know, first game – you're not dinged up or whatever, and then I think he's going to be able to run against that defense too. I wonder what the over-under is going to be game one, Lamar Jackson rushing.
We can't play a lot of zone because of our guys, so a lot of man coverage does make for a light pocket, a light box.
You'd be looking at 100 yards or so.
Oh, yeah, those first couple games, I'll take the over on his rushing yards, but – the entire season at 775, I would take the under, and I'm not wishing it on him. I would anticipate he'll miss some games if they really put that much on his back.
All right, we'll make that our best bet.
Yeah.
That'll be our Deal Volvo best bet of the week. If you're car shopping this weekend, you got to get to Deal Volvo, where it's all about the D-E-E-L. I see Susan Manning. Is she on the line there, Solana?
Yes, she is.
Very good. Everyone's got, an eye on sports, as we just did there, and you've got one eye on Hurricane Dorian, and even our monitors here in the studio. Like, we've got one on sports and one on weather. Everybody's doing the same thing. And so I thought we'd bring on Susan Manning for a moment. She's the owner of All American Roofing, which is the roofing company that I tell you about every day. And I always tell everyone that I used All American Roofing. Hurricane Wilma was 2005. Yeah, 2005. And we needed an entire, this is my old house, we needed an entire new roof. And I don't even think there was much internet, like all the, you know, like the review companies back then or whatever. And so my wife did all the research and she chose All American Roofing. I didn't have a relationship with them back then. And we used them to re-roof our entire house and we're thrilled that we did. And I just wanted to bring throughout the day today some guests on that can help people get prepared, obviously, for the hurricane and whatnot in the event that it does come here. We're all hoping that it doesn't. But Susan Manning, again, is the owner of All American Roofing. You could check out allamericanroof.com if you want more info. Hello, Susan.
Hello.
How are you? I'm guessing you're very busy over there, right?
We are very busy getting ready for the storm. We are filling our warehouse with lots of supplies so that we'd be able to accommodate as many people as we can once we could get back to work here, hopefully Tuesday.
Yeah, like how quickly after a storm do the trucks hit the road?
Immediately.
As soon as
it's safe to come back, a lot of the men live locally near our shop, which is by Commercial and 95 and Fort Lauderdale. And we get here as soon as we can so that we can start helping as many people as we can.
During a hurricane, what's the biggest danger to a roof? Is it the wind or is it the water?
I would say it's definitely the wind. The wind is going to, you know, if the wind takes some of the roof off, or it's going to allow all the water to infiltrate in. So I would say it's the wind that I'm more nervous about than the flooding, for sure.
What if somebody already knows that their roof is on its last legs? Like, it's too late, right, to do anything now?
Yeah, it's too late. We've had so many people call us today, and unfortunately, you know, we can't do anything for them. I don't think they realized, you know, to put a new roof on, you need a permit, you need to do everything in order. And it's unfortunate people hold on to their estimates and they wait to the last minute thinking that, you know, it's not going to hit here.
That's, you know, it happened. So my wife and I said when Hurricane Wilma came through. So we were actually, we had gotten a letter from our homeowners association saying you guys need a new roof. Your roof is ugly. And
yeah.
This my right hand to God. This is a true story. So we had All American Roofing come out to our house and they gave us an estimate. And then Hurricane Wilma came through and we needed a brand new roof. And you guys, I've never told you this, but you guys honored the original estimate from, like, you know, a month and a half before the hurricane came through. It was on it. Like, you know, so rarely in business do you get to deal with honesty, but it was very honest. So people that are getting ready for Dorian, is there any advice that you can give someone? Or, hey, you are where you are at this point.
Yeah, as far as the roof is concerned, we are where we are at this point. But, you know, as far as taking care of other things, they should make sure that everything is brought inside, patio furniture, planters. If there's any trees against the house, they should take the next today and tomorrow, just trying to trim everything back because the wind will take those trees and make them hit into the house.
All right. Well, everybody be safe. And then you guys will have trucks out there the moment that it's safe to do so.
For sure. We'll be here. We were lucky after Irma. We didn't lose our electric, and we have backup generators for the office. So our phone systems will be working. Our computers will be working. And we have a fully stocked warehouse ready to go.
All right. It's allamericanroof.com, by the
waiting.
Way. What's that?
50 trucks waiting to go out.
Holy moly, wow. 50 trucks. All right. Allamericanroof.com is the website, and I would probably bookmark it before the storm comes through so that it's easily findable after it does. Susan
Good
Manning,
idea.
She is the owner of All American Roofing and a friend of ours. So I appreciate you coming on because I want everyone to know that we're keeping an eye on this storm just like everyone else is. We're having fun with our sports nonsense, but we're keeping an eye on the storm as well. So stay safe, Susan.
Thank you so much. Stay safe as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We will try to do so. And everyone listening, obviously, stay safe. It's could get dicey. We are going to talk with Craig Setzer in the 3 o'clock hour, and we'll really find out what the because the next update will be 5 o'clock. So I think the most recent one was the 11 o'clock update.
No, the 2 p.m. update.
Oh, there was a 2 p.m. update.
Yeah, it is up to a category 3. Excuse
it
me.
It is now.
Yeah.
A category 3. Wow. And what was the track? Was it still moving our way?
Yeah, it hasn't really shifted one way or the other, but the storm has developed an eye now, right in the center of it. So
that's funny. Yeah, I was noticing that last night. It was just like a big blob.
Yeah.
So now it's developed an eye. So now this one is. I will say this, and again, Craig Setzer is going to join us. It's about 3:15, and I would certainly be listening because he's really knowledgeable on this stuff. But what I did see last night was that the hurricane winds are only extending out 15 miles from the eye of the storm. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not tropical storm force winds on a much wider radius, but that would be a very compact storm. Obviously, you don't want to be in the path of it. It's a little bit reminiscent of Andrew, I would say, which was super compact.
Yeah, that's the thing I wanted to ask him too. Like, you live in Boca and I'm in Davie. If it hits you, am I going to get the same winds you get?
Right. It's possible that it's so compact that if it goes to Boca, that you'll get obviously wind and rain. And when Irma came through, right? I mean, that wasn't a very it came through very far south, but up north where I was in Boca, our power was out for 3 days. So I'm not certain that it matters, too close.
Irma was a huge storm, though.
Right,
like,
right.
It was one of the largest storms.
Right, it
of
almost
all time.
Covered the entire state,
right.
If I remember correctly.
And we were on the dirty side.
We were on the end. Normally, that's fun.
Look at you. Look at you. You get ready for this hurricane, boy.
Normally.
Yeah, boy.
Normally, that's where you want to be.
I like it.
So here's what we're going to do today. First, in the next segment, we're going to go on to a radio station. You can actually hear us. We're going to be simulcast on 560.
We've got to get paid for this hour.
Craig Setzer is going to join us from CBS4. Jamie Eisenberg, the fantasy football expert from CBSSports.com. He's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. We have not spoken to him all season. Lee Sterling, the professional sports handicapper. He's going to give us some picks. I am planning on hunkering down tomorrow and watching college football all day long and having some money riding on a whole bunch of games.
I'm
so
with you.
Talk to Lee Sterling in the 4 o'clock hour today. We'll take a quick break. We will come back on the simulcast as we take all the stations, Papa.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.